is Spouting Off with Karen Cataline. She's a columnist, commentator, and sought-after guest on talk radio programs around the country. She has a master's degree from Columbia University and an operatic voice that can shatter glass. Here's your host of Spouting Off, Karen Cataline.
Welcome to Spouting Off Friday. Are you ready to spout off? I surely am. Karen Cataline, and I am delighted to be with you. This is Spouting Off for Friday here at the BBS Radio Network. And if you're counting, this is show number 175. In this first half hour, we welcome your phone calls. Not that there's anything to talk about. My illustrious producer, Doug, was just spouting off something fierce and loving. I was loving every minute of it. Talking about what's going on with the stock market and GameStop and Robinhood. These are names that you have never heard of in terms of names of companies. Well, GameStop you have. And then all of a sudden, that's all you hear. So if you have some thoughts on that, we are live today, as we always are. Live talk radio is great. You may be listening to the podcast. You may be listening after the fact over the weekend on places like the K-Star Radio Network, which I want to mention. The K-Star Radio Network is gracious enough to carry our Spouting Off episodes Tuesdays and Thursdays, New Hampshire, WSMN 1590, WSMN and 95.3 FM, and you don't have to live in Nashua, New Hampshire, in order to listen to Spouting Off. As a matter of fact, wherever I am, we're spouting off because that is our God-given right. So if you'd like to call in and let me know what you're thinking about the stock market, about this faux president we seem to have, give me a call, 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. So what's on my mind today? I am, for those of you who listen to me during the week, Tuesdays and Thursdays, or anywhere else I was, I am visiting Texas this week, so I have my traveling microphone. I hope it sounds good. I love being able to do radio from anywhere in the country, probably anywhere in the world. All you need is a good internet connection and your traveling mic and your traveling computer, and you're in business. So I should be back to my home studio on Tuesday, or next Friday, I would say, for the BBS edition of Spouting Off. But this trip has been extraordinary. From the moment I arrived at the airport, having never flown for a year, I'm not going to tell the whole story again because I did tell it earlier this week, but I am going to tell you, and Doug will probably be surprised because I didn't even tell him, I had a super cheap fare from DIA to San Antonio, Texas, to do some business in Texas, and I did not make that flight because I was pulled off the airline. I was lectured to, I was belittled, I was made an example of for using the word. Now, you got to know, I have not worn a mask for an entire year. I wore it one time for a protest so I could rip it off and sing the national anthem. But this day, it was an important business trip, and I came prepared to be a lemming, and I took one of those things that you wear around your neck, and then you just pull them up over your nose. And I do have asthma, and I am very uncomfortable, and it doesn't, you know, I can't breathe. The left only cares if you can't breathe if you are one of their mascots. Nevertheless, I came prepared to play by the rules. And so the short story, because there is a longer story, is that I was flying on American Airlines. I was back in the plane. I took a bite of food, and I did not pull my mask up quite as quickly as the brown shirt service manager thought I should. And so he said, ma'am, pull up your mask. And he was never having any of it. I mean, you know, all that customer service that you remember, that's gone. And I said, this is BS. We all know this is BS, but I'll do it anyway. And I said the real word. And he said, ma'am, come with me. And he pulled me off the plane. Long story short, he lectured me. I said, yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir. Although I did argue. And I guess nowadays you're not allowed to argue with someone to whom you, who works for a company that you paid money to get an airline seat. And he sent me back to my seat. I was crying softly because I was so, so upset about what is being done to our country and what is being done to individuals who are now being treated like serfs. And he pulled me off the plane again and said, you can't fly anymore. There is a longer story, but I don't want to waste time on it now. It is astounding. I'm calling it un-American Airlines. So they canceled me off that flight, told me that I would not ever get to fly American again. Then I called customer relations and she said to me, that's ridiculous. Of course you can fly American again. I said, well, I don't want to and I won't. But how come nobody knows, the left hand doesn't know what the right hand is doing? The other thing is that this same brown shirt, I do want to say this, said to me, you are speaking against the government. I almost fell off my shoes. So now, yes, American Airlines is a private company. But when was it in America that we weren't allowed to speak against the government? Speak against government sounded an awful lot like the communist Chinese to me. Boy, did that sound like it. And he said I was being rude and therefore I couldn't be on the plane. I didn't yell, lose my cool. Yes, I was upset. But anyway, then he said, as he was taking me off the plane the first time, he said, oh, you're such a victim. And yet I was the one accused of being rude. So my theory is that the current system, which is just horrible, atrocious, and exploitative of everyday law-abiding citizens, is now rewarding people who probably are very, very bad to their wife and to their kids, and they're getting enabled and empowered to treat perfect strangers this way. And I remember when my mother died, and I was too upset to, I was afraid I would miss my connection. I was flying from Florida to Denver, and I was told she may not make it while I was on the plane. And in fact, she died before I was able to see her again. And I was told, you better get over here. So I tried to get there, but I didn't get there in time. And so I said, I was too upset. Can you help me find my connection? And they were so kind to me. This is more than 20 years ago now. They sent a little golf cart for me. They were sweet. They were kind. Those days appear to be over. Now we are no longer their customers. We are serfs. Their customers are the government. And that's what's happening everywhere. The reason I bring that up, and yeah, I took too long to tell the story again because there's more to it even than that. I got enough material for 10 op-eds that I probably won't have time to write, but I'll have time to talk about them here on Spouting Off. And I thought, we're living in this alternate universe where everybody is pretending something, okay? Everybody's pretending something that most of them know isn't true. So I got to thinking about a list of things people are pretending about. Yeah, there are people that are buying into this notion that the virus will kill you if you don't wear 4 masks. I mean, that's just insane. The more you comply with a lie, the more lies you get. So now 1 mask isn't enough. Now you have to have 2, 3. How about 12? We'll tell you to do anything we want to tell you to do just to break your will. That's what's going on. So people are pretending that Biden is in charge and he's making all these decisions. Does anybody in their right mind believe Biden is in charge of this White House, wherever or whatever's going on? And that he decided to do all these executive orders? He can barely sign his name. Did you see how he couldn't even figure out where to put his pen? The man is a puppet, and I think a puppet would be more intelligent than Joe Biden at this point, have more on the ball. He doesn't. People are pretending that coronavirus is still a problem when we all know that we not only have a cure, but that it isn't that deadly and nobody's died of the flu in over a year. People are pretending that Democrats care what voters think. They don't, because they usurped our votes and are now engaged in force and coercion rather than upholding the Bill of Rights, which guarantees our liberties. They don't want us to have any more liberties. They are extra constitutional right now. What else are people pretending? This I just sort of dashed off because I could write an op-ed about this, but I could write an op-ed about so many things. Walked into a steakhouse and I went and I'm standing there waiting for my food while everybody is not wearing a mask sitting at their table. And I'm standing up waiting for my food. There's lots of distance between us. And a woman comes up to me and says, "Ma'am, people are freaking out because you don't have a mask." And I thought, boy, have they abused and exploited people. Even in Texas, I have seen on local news, it's like nothing else is going on but coronavirus. It's wall-to-wall coronavirus coverage from beginning to end, practically. And that's why elderly and everyone else is terrified. Terrified. They only listen to what the media tells them. But let's get back to what else are people pretending? Well, they're pretending that Americans elected Joe Biden. You hear that all the time, even from Republicans. We continue to attribute old ideas to a totally new situation. They're pretending that any election in the future is going to be fair. But if the cheaters were never prosecuted for their crimes in 2020, what makes anyone think that they're worried or concerned that Donald Trump might run for president in 2024? He won in a likely landslide in 2020, and he's not sitting in the Oval Office. So what's going on there? Who thinks that that is a serious threat? So why are they going after Donald Trump? Well, we can conjecture about that. But I'll tell you, I'd lay you odds that they're not worried that Donald Trump is going to run again. They're going to make law out of everything that they need to do in order to legalize election fraud, including voter IDs and all the rest of it. There's nobody to stop them, and that's what they're going to do. Who's pretending this is still America? Who's pretending that these leftist Democrats are well-meaning? So we're all playing a cartoon pretend game here. And that's the reason they want to shut people down like me, because we're the ones screaming that the emperor is naked and everybody knows it, but nobody has the guts to say so. Or as Mahatma Gandhi said, even if you're a minority of one, the truth is still the truth. We're going to take a quick break here on Spouting Off. And when we come back, we'll have a whole lot more to spout off about. So stay tuned. We'll be right back after this.
Are you among the millions of Americans who feel uncertain when it comes to their health care? We are happy to inform you that there is a solution, and that solution is Liberty HealthShare. It's a community of like-minded people who work together to pay for their medical costs. You choose your doctor and hospital, starting at $107 a month for a single, up to $449 a month for a family. That's mom, dad, and all kids. For more info, visit libertyhealthshare.org. That's libertyhealthshare.org.
Welcome back, Karen Cataline with you, and this is Spouting Off. So, what was I going to say? Programming note, which is we're going to have for the bottom half of the hour, all the way to the rest of the show, Pam Popper. And she is great. She is a little bit like a couple of those women that have come out speaking about coronavirus. I tried to get her a couple of months ago, couldn't get her, and I'm delighted to have her as my guest. We'll be talking about the virus and all the things that you can do to keep yourself healthy, not because the virus is so deadly, but because the left, who is using the virus as an excuse, are so deadly. I don't know if you saw that wonderful video that went viral that Tucker played, happened to have been on Thursday night, a man yelling and furious, and rightfully so, about his kids still not in school since last March, and accusing the school board of using kids as an excuse not to have to work. Well, duh, that is exactly what is happening. And that video went viral because he was expressing the sentiments of hundreds of thousands of people. And a lot of people, it takes them a whole long time to say, I've had enough. Well, I surely hope people are saying it now, because we are being bullied and intimidated, the likes of which we've never seen. And they are bullying and intimidating companies, too, so that when you do get somebody who's very polite, like the woman at the steakhouse, she was the nicest Texas, you know, person. She wasn't going to get mad at me, even though I was being very ornery by saying that I'm not going to put on a mask. I have a note from my doctor. Would you like to see it? But I could tell she was a very nice lady. And you know, and so what they do is they give you excuses. Well, we're trying to do the best we can, and they'll take our liquor license, which is true, they will. That's our policy. And, you know, it's very, very a hop, skip, and a jump to, well, we were just following orders. I know you've heard that before. I have. So we are being challenged to speak up, to stand up, to not be silenced. And remember when the left were playing phony victims, that people were trying to silence them? They weren't. But let me talk about something else that really, really I'd like to sort of put a red flag on, so that when you watch the news, even Fox News, even what you think is conservative talk radio, which you'd think would be at the vanguard of clarity and principle, they're not. But people continue to concede to the rhetoric. You know, they concede to the rhetoric, and they give quarter to the left's language when they really don't need to. For example, they'll say that, oh, we need to get everybody vaccinated, even though the elephant in the room, the elephant in the living room is that not everybody wants the vaccine. In fact, many, 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 many people are quite suspicious of the vaccine. And why wouldn't they be? It's the same people pushing the vaccine, with the exception of Donald Trump, and I don't know what's going on there, who are lying to us about coronavirus in general. They're telling us that a mask is going to save you. I don't care if you wear four masks or 14 masks. They don't have a right to tell you to put a rag on your face, especially for a virus that isn't the bubonic plague. If it were the bubonic plague, they wouldn't have to make mask mandates. But you've got a whole lot of people who really think this virus is the bubonic plague, because that's what the media has led them to believe. I think my dear friend and producer, Doug, is chomping at the bit. He's riled beyond riled, and we got to give him a chance to spout off here on Spouting Off. He just texted me, the CEO of Robinhood is Ghislaine Maxwell's son. So you were ranting to me, and you're just so adorable when you rant, Doug, about this GameStop situation and stocks, and you've been following it very, very closely. Hi, tell everybody hi, and then tell us what you're riled up about.
Well, hi, everyone. Yeah. Being a person who used to day trade when I was a boy, not day trade, but run box markets the age of 15, 16, 17, 18, 19. I did all these things for lots of companies and worked with desk traders all over the world, actually, 40 different desk traders. They were like the most important people to work with in any brokerage firm. And I worked with most of them. And it was, you know, they thought the markets were criminal back then. I mean, even before the crash of 87, I know all the brokers got together and they said, let's short the market. And this was a week in advance of it occurring. So it was plotted out, as most things are. And most of the world doesn't really realize this occurs in the background, but it does. And today we're seeing something I never, you know, I should have figured that this was possible. But now we're seeing hedge funds, big hedge funds, they go in there and they short a stock for more than the stock that's capable of trading. If you have a million, let's say you have a stock, it's trading $10, and you have, just for the sake of argument, a million shares it can trade. Well, the big hedge funds, if they don't like you, and I remember they did this to a lot of companies, that, and I even tried to fight against these shorts and didn't, and they were always won, almost always won, by the way, because they just kept on shorting for more than the stock that was available. But now today, in a market that's supposed to be more mature, they short for more than the available stock. Like in GameStop, there was like 138% of the stock shorted. So that means they were using paper that didn't even exist, right? And they got away with it, and they've been getting away with it forever. Large companies just come in, they dominate. If you're not in their party or if you're not in the inside scoop, they hammer your stock. And, you know, there's a lot of people that have complained about that, but we always thought, well, that's good for the markets because it shows that it has some sort of, you know, ability to be, you know, corrected on both ends, both the buy and the sell. You can get pressure on both ways.
Yeah.
Over the years, we've seen people stop shorting. You know, if markets get really short, the market comes in and says, okay, we aren't going to allow shorting to take place for a period of time.
Uh-huh.
Right. But today we're seeing stocks being shorted to death for more than what the available stock is. And what do you do about that? Well, your average investor now, he's seeing these opportunities and they're pooling together in with other people that see these opportunities. You know, 30 years ago, we didn't have the internet, so one guy could tweet out, hey, to 100,000 people, look what I'm buying, look what I'm buying. So now you have these individuals like Dave Portnoy that can reach almost a billion people in a tweet. You have Elon Musk that can reach a billion people in a tweet, right? Whatever Elon Musk does, if he tweets out a company, it goes parabolic. Well, how do you protect thousands of companies when you have one guy that can reach a million people in a tweet and they target two
you
or three
them
stocks?
You tell them they can't buy stock anymore. You censor them from buying, just like we're censored from talking or connecting with anybody.
Right.
It's called tyranny.
Or they just halt the ability to trade in that stock.
You know what this reminds me of, though? And I don't have the experience with it that you clearly do. But it reminds me of trading places.
Right.
Remember when the little guy got over on the big guy, and then the guy comes along and says, margin call, gentlemen.
Right.
And they end up, you know, living on the street in Coming to America, which was very clever. And we're not allowed. We are not allowed to do what the big boys do. We're just plebes, and we are supposed to act like plebes.
Right.
No.
Well, here's the big issue now. Let's say you have GameStop. You know, most of those companies have not covered their shorts.
Yeah.
So you still have over 100% of the float trading. By the way, I know another squeeze. You don't
float
just squeeze.
Trading?
I'm sorry?
Okay. What's float trading?
Float means how much stock can trade. Let's say you have 100 million shares. You authorize a certain amount of stock. Like if I start a company, I authorize a billion shares. I issue to people 100 million of it. So 90 million isn't authorized, but maybe 100 million is, right? That 100 million can trade. Now, and that's all that can trade. You can't get your hands on the other 900 million because nobody's issued it. It's just authorized to be issued at some point in the future. Like options. They may not be able to trade.
I want you to forget the scoop you said you were going to give. So we have 6 minutes, less than six. Don't forget your scoop.
Well, if you have that amount of stock that's shorted and the stock goes from like $10 to $300 and nobody's covered their shorts, what happens is these big hedge funds, these mutual funds, all these big companies that have their shorts on, they can't buy the stock. So instead of, let's say they have a short position of $100 million. Well, they can't buy the stock back at any price, so they have to put up capital. So you take a hedge fund that has to put now $100 million short, they have to put $10 billion up against that short and hold it there. So they can't do anything with that money. And they still can't buy back the stock, and everybody knows it. So now we could send the stock to... I'm sorry?
Protected them.
Well, they're trying, but Robinhood just came back and said, no, people can start trading in those stocks again. And, you know, even though the market dropped yesterday because they halted trading in those stocks, today those stocks are all back up to those same high price levels. And still nobody's covered their shorts. Very dangerous for the big companies.
So
very dangerous.
Is that what you're telling me?
I'm sorry?
They're losing their shorts.
They're losing their shorts. Unless somebody goes in there and changes this dynamic, the little man now knows they can take all these companies with short positions and drive them insane. But here's how you really squeeze the short.
Okay.
You ask the brokerage firms, every time you buy stock, and nobody does this. If I buy 1,000 shares of IBM, I don't go up to my broker and say, please give me the certificate. I want you to send me my certificate. If you do not, that certificate stays in the brokerage firm and they can use it to short. So every time you're buying stock, you're just allowing somebody else to borrow against it. And that's what the brokerage firms do. They allow people to borrow against your stock because you have not asked for the stock certificate. If you really want to screw these shorts, I know this for a fact. If you really wanted to screw these shorts, if these people really got together and they all said, we want all of our stock right now, you think the stock's parabolic now? It would just, because there'd be nothing to use to short against and they'd have to buy it back at any price. They couldn't just put money in an account and say, okay, I've now put $10 billion up against my short. You couldn't do it anymore.
Yeah. And most people don't understand that.
Right.
At all. They don't. So did you tell us what the scoop was? Did you give us
the scoop? Oh, you told him the scoop. That lady who was Jeffrey Epstein's right-hand man, I guess, and I don't know if this is true. It isn't verified. I'm just following this on different feeds, that I guess her son is the CEO of Robinhood, who did this nasty deed yesterday of saying to all the traders that were ruining the short's existence life, hey, he's the CEO of this company.
How do you like that?
Wow, huh? And Janet Yellen's not going to do anything against these companies because she was paid almost $1 million in speaking fees.
Everything is related to everything
Everything is related
now,
to everything.
If only we could get some of these people prosecuted and put in prison, but, you know, that's what we can only hope. I think I have to take a break because we're going to have Pam Popper with us. Thank you, Doug, for giving us that feedback. I'm glad I asked you. This is a passion of yours, my friend. I love it. So, Karen Cataline, you're listening to Spouting Off. When we get back, we'll talk to Pam Popper after this. Stay tuned.
Looking for even more great conservative talk radio? The K-Star Talk Radio Network is a Christian-owned, alternative conservative news and talk radio internet broadcasting network. They have a full line of programming about spiritual, political, social, economic, financial, and health-related topics. And their goal is to encourage critical thinking about the issues of the day. The K-Star Talk Radio Network features great shows like America's First News, The Keith Hansen Show, Erskine, and Spouting Off with Karen Cataline. Check out the whole schedule at their website at kstarradionetwork.com. Time could be short for a free people to share ideas in a free society. K-Star Radio Network is fighting a spiritual war on an earthly plane. Visit them today at kstarradionetwork.com.
Are you among the millions of Americans who feel uncertain when it comes to their health care? We are happy to inform you that there is a solution, and that solution is Liberty HealthShare. It's a community of like-minded people who work together to pay for their medical costs. You choose your doctor and hospital, starting at $107 a month for a single, up to $449 a month for a family. That's mom, dad, and all kids. For more info, visit libertyhealthshare.org. That's libertyhealthshare.org.
Do you have a secret that's been bothering you? Have you been wondering if what you're thinking or feeling is normal? Is there someone with whom you've needed to clear the air, but you haven't been able to find the right words? Sometimes you need an objective, second opinion to help you see your problem more clearly. Ask Aunt Emma, and she'll help you move past what's getting in your way. She's a former therapist who is wise and caring, but instead of therapy, she'll give you terrific advice. It's free to ask Aunt Emma and explain your need, problem, or question. If you both agree, you pay only $1.39 a minute. It's anonymous, it's confidential, and you'll be surprised at how effective it is. You can ask Aunt Emma by going to facebook.com/AskAuntEmma. There, you'll find her phone number and extension number. That's facebook.com/AskAuntEmma. Ask Aunt Emma today.
You're listening to Spouting Off with Karen Cataline.
Welcome back to Spouting Off. I'm your host, Karen Cataline, and we have with us somebody that I've wanted to speak to for a while because a lot of people send me her videos. She's the author of several best-selling wellness books. Her newest book is COVID Operation, What Happened, Why It Happened, and What's Next, and it's available now. She co-authored with Shane Pryor. Welcome, Pam Popper, to Spouting Off.
Well, thank you for having me. And I guess we're going to spout off now, right? We certainly have a lot to do with in that area.
Yeah, we have a lot to spout off about, I'll tell you that. And we have to spout off louder than ever because conservatives and people who are not drinking the Kool-Aid are being censored and shut down and shut up. I know from your videos that you are not going to shut up, and neither am I. Let's start off. I know you wrote about suicide and depression and anger and anxiety, and I happen to have an MSW from a very conservative school, Columbia University. And so I'd like to talk about that, but let's first talk about coronavirus in general. In my opening monologue, I spoke about how I was taken off a plane at Un-American Airlines. I had to get another airline because I said, we all know this is BS, but I'll do it anyway, by having taken a bite of something and I didn't put my mask on fast enough. I haven't worn a mask in a whole year. I detest, I loathe, I'm horrified that so many people are complying. But in order to fly for the first time in 11 months or whatever it is, I did, and I still didn't make it on Un-American Airlines. This bullying, this intimidation, and this wholesale compliance with a lie makes me crazy. My hair's on fire. You make the best, you make some great videos about all of this. Tell us, what's the most effective thing you've ever said to people about why this is not what the media is comporting it to be?
Well, it's easy enough to figure out by just making a few phone calls or checking a few databases that really quickly tell you what's going on. So I'll just give you some examples. If you go to the Ohio dashboard, every state has a dashboard. You know, we've got the schools closed and the colleges are, you got to be tested, random tested, and they quarantine in the whole nine yards. Well, if you go to the Ohio dashboard, and I just did it this morning for another reason, not this interview, but the death rate in people under age 30 in Ohio is 0%. Zero. So you can see why the schools need to be closed and why it's really important for college kids to be tested and quarantined. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, it doesn't make any sense. Another thing is every Friday, Becker publishes, it's an organization called Becker, publishes the hospitalization rate. And on December 3rd, I think it was, when the states were starting to lock down again, it was a good date to check. And I think California had 57,000 empty beds and Ohio had 38,000 empty beds. I mean, there was just absolutely not a single state that was anywhere near capacity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If you go back, here's another thing somebody could do because it's real recent. Go look at what the ICU rate was in California when Gavin Newsom locked everything down in December. And when he told everybody he was going to loosen the reins and take off the stay-at-home order, there were three times as many occupied ICU beds on the day that he released the public to not stay home as there were when he locked them down. So you can see that makes perfect sense. And then last but not least, take a look at the data from CDC and World Health Organization for previous years. And you'll see that and look at not only just flu, seasonal flu and pneumonia, you'll see that COVID cured both of those things in the United States. I think we have three cases out of 337 million people. But also look at overall mortality. There has been no excess mortality in the United States. So, and I could go on, but you get the idea. It's easy to check this and figure out within about 15 minutes that this is not a pandemic.
Of course it's not. And look at what they're getting away with. Look at the motive, or as I like to say, cui bono, who benefits from all this? I'm in Texas at the moment visiting, and I was told by a host in a restaurant while I was waiting for my takeout order, people were freaking out because I wasn't wearing a mask, standing many, many feet away from them. So people have been completely terrified, buffaloed, and worked up into a frenzy. The exploitation, it's criminal. There's so much criminal about this. But since you do so much great work trying to educate people, have you found anything that particularly helps people to get past this irrational fear that the media has been stoking for so long?
No. And I'll tell you, we have three groups. I'm just going to cut to the chase. And by the way, this is not a new problem. During World War II, Hitler created the Warsaw Ghetto and locked up all the Jews. And he told the Polish people he was protecting them from diseases spread by Jews. All right. This isn't new. All right. So it's been done before.
This does disturb me just a ever tiny bit. So
yeah.
I guess you're ideologically conservative, you're carrying diseases that nobody else is carrying. Right?
Yeah, so it's the same thing. But here's what I'm getting at. Right now in this country, we have three groups of people. All right, one is the people who have bought this hook, line, and sinker, and they're terrified. And you can almost see the glazed look in their eyes walking around with their mask on. And I don't mean that in an offensive sort of way. I mean, they're just not thinking.
Oh, you're allowed.
Yeah, well, they're not thinking, and they're just brainwashed. I don't know. It's very similar to watching Jewish people get loaded into trucks and trains and doing nothing about it, standing on the sidewalk. They just don't. They're not capable. Then you've got the people like you and I who knew from the beginning that something was terribly wrong. The problem for the perpetrators is they never counted on this middle group of people who've been invisible until recently, and this middle group of people are people who were they were really knocked on their rear ends when this happened. You know, think about being a mom and dad with three children, and all of a sudden everybody's at home and you have two computers and three kids who are schooling at home and you're supposed to do a Zoom meeting at one and you've never done this before. You know, you have all you can do to just figure out life. But you know what happened with many of these people is when they started coming out from the shock of it all, last fall. This is a group of people that started waking up, and they were coming over and are still coming over to our side. And so I would say that at a certain point in time, it looked like it was pretty equally divided between sheep and thinking people. And now I think the thinking people are gaining a lot of traction, and even a few of the convincible sheep are changing. I just had something posted on one of our social media sites yesterday. And whoever it was said, you know, for a year, almost a year, I believed the other side and thought you were wrong, and now I realize you were right. And so there are some persuadable people there, but the people who are truly brainwashed, you're just not going to change their mind.
And the extent
to which they will maintain this brainwashed state, I think, is evidenced by the fact that during World War II, and I use a lot of comparisons, there were towns that were located close enough to the death camps that they could smell the burning flesh, and they didn't do anything about it. Okay.
So that's
just to put it in perspective. This is not new.
No, it isn't. Pam, when you mentioned that there are people who are now coming over, I was reminded of the fact that for almost a year running up to the election, you couldn't figure out, it was difficult for those of us whose eyes are open, to figure out why they were going for broke. They were playing it for all it was worth to shut people down, shut people up when there was an election on. But now we know that they believed, and apparently it's true, that they were going to get away with stealing the election. So it's okay if they showed their hand before the election. It was okay that Joe Biden spent the entire campaign in the basement. In fact, it was better if he was in the basement, because the minute he opened his mouth, he lost points. So that's what's so interesting. I think, you know, when they say that Trump likely won in a landslide, many of the people that never voted for either Trump or a Republican before are exactly, I believe, I'm just conjecturing here, the people that you are talking about. Mm-hmm. They knew, they figured out that it was the Democrat cities that were seeing rioting in the streets, burning of Wendy's, and governors who were doing nothing about it. They saw that the rules and regulations and the tyranny were going on much greater in states controlled by Democrats. Am I right?
Yeah, I think that's part of it. But one thing I'll just kind of add to what you said is I think that all of this kind of, it starts to make people feel very helpless and like it's all over. And it's not over. And please understand, I'm not suggesting that Trump is going to parachute onto the White House lawn tomorrow morning and take over. That's not going to happen. But when I say it's not over, what I mean by that is that when you look at the great battles in history against evil, this certainly is one of them, maybe the most important and the biggest yet. But when you look at these battles, it never was like a straight line where every day was better than the last day and you just marched your way out of it. You make a little progress and then something terrible happens, and you know, then you make a little progress and things seem to be going well, and then you get a setback, right? So, you know, again, using the World War II comparison, Hitler invading another company or country, rather, dropping another bomb on London, you couldn't, back then, you really would be demoralized if every time that type of thing happened, you said, well, it's clearly hopeless, we're doomed now, all right? You had to look at it and say, it's clearly worse now, and these criminals are showing themselves for what they really are, and sometimes that has to happen. Remember, the United States did not enter the war until late in the game when it was inevitable, right?
Listen, I gotta take a quick break, Pam. Can you hang with us for one more segment?
Yes, I can.
When we come back, we're going to talk about how you handle this emotionally, physically. I'm excited to hear what Pam Popper has to say when she said, it's not over and it's not hopeless, because a lot of people I know are pretty hopeless. Karen Cataline, and you're listening to Spouting Off here on the Friday edition on BBS Radio. Stay tuned. We'll be back with more after this.
Are you among the millions of Americans who feel uncertain when it comes to their health care? We are happy to inform you that there is a solution, and that solution is Liberty HealthShare. It's a community of like-minded people who work together to pay for their medical costs. You choose your doctor and hospital, starting at $107 a month for a single, up to $449 a month for a family. That's mom, dad, and all kids. For more info, visit libertyhealthshare.org. That's libertyhealthshare.org.
Welcome back to Spouting Off. I'm so happy to be with you. It's wonderful that I can be with you anywhere. As long as there's an internet connection and a microphone, then I'm set. Karen Cataline with you here on Spouting Off. We're talking to Pam Popper, who is a great test of making your mic skills to say Pam Popper without popping your peas. And Pam is an author of several best-selling wellness books. Her newest book is COVID Operation, What Happened, Why It Happened, and What's Next. You're going to want to get that. And Pam, you just recently, and thanks for joining us, thanks for staying with us, excuse me. You have been writing and talking about this hopelessness and helplessness, which of course are the makings of depression. As soon as some people thought that Donald Trump was going to pull it out, and when Biden was inaugurated, they lost hope. What can you tell those people?
Yeah, so the first thing is, we were talking about right before the break, this issue, the United States didn't get involved until late in the war, and every time something bad would happen, you had people who were throwing up their hands and saying, obviously we're all going to be speaking German soon, right? But that it didn't turn out that way, right? And right. So I think the first thing is, and I think I could be comfortable saying this here, the first thing is you just believe that God will not let the world be destroyed in this way. He will not let it happen, all right? And so faith in God and faith in the fact that somehow we're going to overcome this is a very calming thing. I think the second thing is that you have to find...
Let me stop you. If you would just hold off, because I want to talk about the second and the third things. But as I told you, I put the Judeo and Judeo-Christian. I am, in fact, 100% Jewish. And there were an awful lot of people that saw devastating genocide during the war that you have mentioned, and of not just Jews, but we know many millions of people died, and many of those people lost faith because they said, where was God? You know, when I think of the woman who was used as a shield on January 6th, who got caught up and came into the building, but she was actually lifted and put through the building, and then they shot her in the head. It breaks my heart to hear that story, but, you know, speak to that a little bit, would you? Because that is what happens with people. They keep hoping God's going to save them. And, of course, there are no guarantees with God.
No.
We don't always know.
And God helps people who help themselves also, right? So it's, we can't just sit back and say, well, I know God's going to fix this for me, so I don't have to do anything.
Oh, no.
I mean, you know, I'm doing a lot of things, right? We have to do our part. So God gave me a brain. God gave me a big office full of people. God gave me a YouTube channel. God gave me a newsletter. So I have to use those things. I have to mobilize people. I have to use the gifts that I have to do my part, and everybody else has to use the gifts they have to do their part too. And then I think so it isn't just sit back and hope it all works out in the end. It's knowing it will work out in the end, and knowing that it may get worse before it gets better, and then asking yourself, what am I called upon to do to help this effort, right? And then I think to keep yourself sane, and I have to do this too, because I listen to devastation all day long, people who are losing their homes and their businesses, and they're depressed, and their kids commit suicide, and so you listen to a lot of this. But the way that you survive that is you find something beautiful every day. And I was writing an email back to somebody who was real sideways last night, and I said, there's always something wonderful if you just take time to pay attention. So my good friend came in to work out with me yesterday morning, and her grandson has started crawling. And this is like the cutest baby video ever. And you look at that and you say, there are some things that are still pretty wonderful in the world. And it just makes me motivated. By the time this little person can talk and understand what's going on, we're going to get rid of this nonsense, you know? And so you don't have to do anything, but if you want to stay sane and you want to stay positive, you have to know and have faith it will come out okay in the end. You have to be prepared for the battle ahead and know that things can get worse before they get better. And then you have to look around yourself, around at everything going on, and look at something to be grateful for and something that's beautiful to appreciate. And, you know, I had a good friend who died several years ago, but he used to say, you know, if you wake up in the United States of America and you have $5 in your pocket and enough to eat, you're better off than a couple billion people in the world. And we sometimes forget that. And it doesn't mean that things aren't awful, but it sure means that they sure could be worse, you know, and we sometimes forget that.
Well, I was that the second one thing when I interrupted you? You said the second.
Oh, I don't know. I just kind of talked through the whole thing, but and there's more to it than that. I really do feel that they talk about the Great Reset. I think that we are having a Great Reset. It's just not the one they envisioned. And I think that from the standpoint that things sometimes get worse before they get better, one of the reasons that that happens is that it takes that in many instances for people to see so clearly how horrific things are and why they must get involved. I've seen this, you know, I saw this starting on January 20th. I the idea that Trump's going to parachute into the front lawn of the White House and the governors are going to lift the restrictions, that's not going to happen. We're going to have to do this ourselves. There's nobody going to save us from this except ourselves, because to a certain extent we let it happen by letting government become more intrusive and not doing anything about it when it was an easier problem to solve. Well, yes, now we're going to solve it once and for all, you know? Well, and so it'll be better at the end.
Things that I do worry about tremendously is that we see through history, I'm not the greatest historian, but it's quite clear that when very avid power mongers will do anything at all to get power, and when communists have taken over a country, they never let it go. They never back down. The people who are lying to themselves thinking that there will be a fair election in either 2022 or 2024, if the cheaters, the liars, and the thieves have not been prosecuted, are kidding themselves, are they not?
Well, I don't think that's the only way for it to happen. You know, I look back, you know, hindsight's 2020, but hindsight can give you a great insight into the future. Note to self, don't leave the polling stations no matter what. Film everything. Why did everybody go home? In other words, I'm not blaming. That's not the point. But I am saying that we can learn from what happened, and this can only happen again if we let it happen again.
Wait,
and I think the next time,
yeah,
the next...
Dominion Voting Services, if that is all true with Italy, they cheated nine ways to Sunday.
I know they cheated nine ways to Sunday. They cheated when the building was empty. And why was the building empty? When somebody's, you know, this goes to... people following directions and not understanding their rights, okay? I have to be crystal clear about this, that we don't want to get into blaming people, but in hindsight is 2020. Who could have ever imagined that this would happen? But now it's happened. Note to self, you're going to be there at the polling station with 300 people who are going to stand there all around the room. They're not going to leave until everybody leaves. And then you're going to have somebody guard the door.
The kind of defiance that you're talking about is the kind that I've been screaming about since last March. Why?
Well, I understand that, but now you're making my point.
I am making the point on purpose.
It had to happen in order to show people why they need to be that defiant. And that's why sometimes things get worse before they get better.
Yeah, and everybody comes to those realizations at different times. I'm sure you saw the viral video of the parent who was irate about the school board not allowing his kid to go back to school. And he accused them, rightfully so, of using kids to hide behind so they wouldn't have to work. Did you see that video? I bet you did.
It's in my inbox. I haven't had a chance to watch it yet, but it's in my inbox.
And he speaks for so many people. I'm not a parent, but those kinds of things, there's no... It's obvious why they want to shut down the media so people will not see that and get riled too. Sadly, we have to get going. We always have to get going shorter than I thought. Tell everybody I can follow you on your video, and then I got to wrap up the show, like, right now.
Yes, well, if you want to get my information, I put out a lot of free information. Send an email to pampopper@msn.com. We'll get you all set up. Thank
you.
Well,
it is great to talk to you, and I hope to have you on some of the other shows that I do. Thanks for joining us, Pam Popper. Hope to talk again.
Thank you.
That about does it for Spouting Off. Thanks to Doug for speaking on the air. Thanks to HW, the guy with an IQ greater than that of a small soap dish. And yes, we do have to keep our discernment and remember that Hebrew word, chazak, strength. And tune in on Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Fridays next week when there will be a whole lot more to spout off about here on Spouting Off.